A little over 1 year ago, Christian and I embarked on an adventure, a movie-making adventure that we talk about probably too often on the show, and we just got some very good news for all of you. The movie will be coming out in July. We just inked a deal. It'll be in the trade soon, called Lady of the Manor. Anyway, so everyone will be able to see it, and all the people who are sick of hearing us talk about it will get to finally see it. But while we were shooting that, toward the end of production, Ryan Phillippe, who was one of the actors in the movie, he told us, like, pretty matter-of-factly, that there's going to be this life-altering pandemic. This is
February of 2020.
Right. We dismissed it. We thought, I mean, everyone there pretty much thought he
was... I thought he was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know how to say that. I thought he was like, oh, because I didn't know Ryan that well. And I thought, well, maybe I just missed the part. I really liked him, but I thought, oh, I missed the part where he's like this like crazy conspiracy theory guy. And obviously, he was... He was right.
So, unfortunately, he was right.
I know. Sadly. So
he turned out to be like a gorgeous Nostradamus.
Yeah. Nostradamus.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
You're listening to Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
And with me, as always, is my equally prophetic brother. Did you think I said pathetic?
No, I thought you said okay. Prophetic.
You still think it's weird.
Well, are you saying that we're equally not prophetic?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well.
It's a strange way to be described. It's like my brother, who's also not a gymnast. I guess so.
Well, we can be a little we have degrees of prophetic ability.
You don't both have degrees of propheticism?
You know, now I'm thinking about Nostradamus being gorgeous like Ryan Phillippe. And,
he might have been.
He might have been. But you know, every once in a while you'll see like an old-timey, like I'm thinking of, there's a president who, I think it's Chester A. Arthur. I think Chester A. Arthur.
He had the big mutton chops, didn't he?
He had a big beard. Did he have mutton chops?
Maybe I think he did.
Are you thinking Grover Cleveland?
Maybe Cleveland. I think Arthur had big mutton chops.
Oh, shit.
Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
Well, I want to just because there's a photo of young Chester Arthur who is, whatever. He's so handsome. He looks like a modern day handsome guy. You know, he looks like Drew Brees, weirdly. With more hair. But anyway, I'm just imagining like hunky... historical figures.
Hunky Nostradamus?
Yeah, maybe he was. Nostradamus had one of those big... That was like trendy for prophets at the time.
Stands to reason that there were hunky people back then.
That was the go-to prophet, Luke.
But you know, here's the difference.
A big white beard.
Here's the difference is that people now have much better nutrition and knowledge about what they put in their body and...
That's true.
And skincare products.
That's true.
So Ryan Phillippe obviously is naturally extremely handsome, but he's also fortunate enough to take care of himself really well.
Yeah.
Whereas Nostradamus, I would guess, didn't have that ability.
Well, maybe he could predict that that was important, that he would age poorly.
But he still wouldn't have access to the skincare regimen.
Yeah, I know, but didn't they have...
He was probably like fleshy, probably ate a lot of meat.
Yeah, I get, because information...
He might have had nice features.
Yeah, that I think that's the case with the guy I'm thinking of, Chester A. Arthur, is that he was... Yeah, when he was younger, it's like I think people just aged faster. Like,
oh, much faster.
Well, we were talking about...
They also died younger.
We were talking about Tom Brady and George Blanda was the oldest professional football player to have played. He was, I think, 48 when he retired, and he played in a game, in a playoff game. And Tom Brady just beat his record for being the oldest quarterback in a playoff game. And George Blanda was 42 at the time. Tom Brady's 43, still doing it in the Super Bowl. Anyway, they showed a picture back-to-back of George Blanda at the same age as Tom Brady. And, of course, Tom Brady looked, like, resplendent, and George Blanda looked...
Like his father.
Yeah, he did.
He was that much older looking.
You saw the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. But, of course, George Blanda also smoked. He drank a lot. I mean, he was, like... Back then, in the 60s, 70s, that's what football...
But also even now, don't get me started on Tom Brady.
I know, he has a new...
Even for this day and age,
yeah,
he is like freakishly young-looking for his age.
And I thought you were going to say he's like freakishly disciplined about what he
puts... He is, but that's why he looks like that.
Yeah,
what he puts in his body. They go hand in hand. Why are we talking about this?
Well, because we're talking about... why are we talking about
this? Ryan Phillippe was in a movie.
That's right.
Before he was in our movie, he was in a great movie.
Wait, you're saying like our movie's not great?
It hasn't been seen yet.
That's true.
It hasn't been reviewed.
Isn't that that's the nice thing about before a movie comes out? Like, you can talk about
it. So far, it's a perfect reviews.
Yes, it's great. So far, we can say it's great without people rolling their eyes.
Right.
Like, what do you mean it's great? But it is great, I think. And hopefully you'll agree. But yeah, he was in a great, I think, one of the greatest movies, one of the greatest comedies of the last 20 years.
Of this century.
I think easily. MacGruber. MacGruber was a takeoff on MacGyver, who we wouldn't watch growing up, but the commercials were always on. And I remember once watching the commercial with my mother. My mother commented on Richard Dean Anderson, was the actor who played it. He commented on his looks, and she was like, he's whatever.
Like, she liked him.
She liked him. And I remember thinking, because I was so young, it was before I understood that mothers could be attracted to people other than your father, other than fathers, you know. So I, at the time, I just remember thinking, oh, well, she thinks she likes him. She finds him attractive the same way I do, because he's like cool and he like makes bombs out of twine.
Maybe
and stuff.
She did.
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt
Richard
it.
Dean Anderson, also Dylan McKay's father in 90210.
Is that true?
Yes.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
I was a big 90210
well,
head.
That's right. I forget. What do you call yourselves? The 90210ers?
90210 heads.
Oh, you just made that up. But anyway.
So MacGruber was based on MacGyver, but it was based on an SNL sketch called MacGruber, and the movie underperformed at the box office, but it has since gone on to become a cult classic, and the star and writer of that movie is our guest today.
Will Forte. He is I can't say that anymore, because I catch myself saying he's one of the funniest people I've ever met, but
he is.
He is. I mean, how can you not say that? I mean, I think I've just been really lucky, too. I've met a lot of funny people.
You've also talked in real life and on the show with now multiple members of Saturday Night Live, which is a show
I know.
Has some of the funniest people in the country.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's, of course, you're talking about like elite level funny people.
I know. It's like saying like, yeah, here's another member of the men's U.S. Olympic swimming team he's also a really good swimmer.
Exactly.
It's like, duh. Okay, I'm going to stop being self-conscious about it, or try to. And yeah, Will is, you'll see. You're going to hear. He's the best. And if you haven't seen MacGruber, which probably most of you have, God, is it worth it?
You should watch it. But he's also very funny in Last Man on Earth, which was a TV show on Fox for 4 years.
It's one of those rare, really funny and smart network comedies.
Really smart. And he's a great actor, too. He was the star of Alexander Payne's Nebraska.
So
he's a good dramatic actor.
Yeah.
He can kind of do it all.
I think, and we'll talk about this afterwards, but I think anytime you see an actor committing the way he does, even in those Saturday Night Live sketches, he commits in a way that it's then unsurprising when he commits to a dramatic performance, I think. But we'll get into that.
Let's hear it.
Let's talk to Will about... Oh, God, I was so looking forward to this, because I've always wanted to pick his brain about a lot of things. But really, I mean, MacGruber is this really special movie to us. So we get into that and many more things with the great, the hilarious, the absurdly funny Will Forte.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do-do-do-do-shaboo.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
Wait, why am I not showing up on the screen here?
It's nice to hear your voice, but it's just a black...
It doesn't even... Oh, God. I'm such a... freaking piece of tape. Sorry.
I heard you say once that you are so intimidated by certain people. It's one of the reasons I love being around you, I feel connected to you, is we have a similar thing, which is that people that we admire, people that we respect, it's still very difficult for us to be natural and normal around them. I think you said it about Steve Martin, Martin Short. There was a moment where a director friend of mine was like, you got to come. It was after a play and Martin Short was there and it was a good group. It was like a group I was comfortable around. He was like, just come say hi. And I couldn't do it. I didn't want, I don't know
and
why.
He's
and
the nicest person in the world.
I know.
He's so easy to talk to. And I just get so nervous. I actually sat next to him on a plane once and he was walking down the aisles and I was kind of dreading like, oh my God, what if I'm sitting next to him? And then it was the seat.
Oh my God.
It was a nightmare because I was like, I don't know what to say. I don't know. And it was the most delightful plane ride I've ever had. He, told me the most amazing stories.
He seems like that kind of
effortlessly incredibly funny the whole time, and I learned a lot about him personally. Just an amazing person, and I've kept in touch with him a little bit, but I just feel like in such awe of him. I don't know.
Your comedy to me is so unique and great, and I am in awe of what you do. So I'm so curious what did form that? I've never gotten to ask you that. We've known each other for years, but
I mean, I think it's basically every little thing you watch and you like, but the stuff that I loved so much, obviously Saturday Night Live growing up and just seeing, you know, basically I was born in 1970. So I was old enough to kind of be aware of that first cast. As I got a little bit older, the Letterman show in the early to mid 80s, and then I just wouldn't miss that ever. And he was, that was a big one.
That was the guy.
Martin. Chevy Chase, all his movies. Fletch was huge. Caddyshack, obviously.
I'm going to make you tell a story. I'm sure I'm so sorry to do this, but will you just tell a story about the character that you auditioned for on Saturday Night Live, the gold character?
Oh, yes. So yeah, there was a character that I had done at the Groundlings a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Is one of my favorite sketches I ever got a chance to do. You know, usually they're people who are either dressed all in silver or dressed all in gold.
And they're frozen.
Yeah, they're frozen, standing in the street, and they have a little box. And if you throw money into the box, they'll do some robotic movement a little bit, just enough to earn that buck, and then they'll freeze again. So I played one of those guys. Basically, the premise of the thing was that I did that for somebody, you know, I'm one of those guys. Somebody throws in some money, I do some robotic movement, and then people get kind of bored of me and look at somebody else on the street. And then a person comes up, a street robber, and looks around, nobody's paying attention. So he takes all the money out of my jar. But since he doesn't put money into the jar, I don't do the movement and I'm stuck there frozen. Because the sign says dollars make me move. So, so then he takes off and I'm just frozen there. Finally, somebody else comes up, puts in a buck, and I take off robotically to try to find this guy, but he's already long gone. So I sadly get back up on the pedestal and just sit there with a really sad look on my face. And then this kid comes up with their dad and says, "Dad, why is the gold man look so sad?" And he says, "Well, I don't know. If you put in a dollar, maybe he'll tell you. And if you put in $2, maybe he'll tell you in song." And then I do this song about how hard it is to be a gold man, which then
eventually... And this was your SNL audition.
I decided to do this for the SNL audition. I guess I should just sing it, because it seems like if I'm going to tell to you, I should just sing it.
Yeah, you have to... Please favor us with this song.
So this was the very end of my SNL audition. And then I launched into this song, and this is what it was. "Just because I'm a man made of gold doesn't mean I'm made out of money. But the calling I've found is to give people pleasure through incredibly precise robotic movement. That's why I come out to the streets to help me make ends meet. And I work real hard to fill up that jar. And then a bad apple ruins the barrel. Heart of gold, 24 karat. But through all the pain, I grin and I bear it. Heart of gold. But I'm living a golden dream. And any way you slice it, we're all on the same team." And then everyone kind of comes out. It becomes this real feel-good part of the song. You know, everyone who has been watching comes out.
They're kind of like joining in.
"A heart of gold, 24 karat. But through all the pain, I grin and I bear it." And then Maya Rudolph goes, "He grins and he bears it. Heart of gold." And then it gets a little seedy. "But it don't make me no saint, because I got a little secret. I saw cock for my face paint." And then, come on, stay with me, people. "Heart of gold, I saw cock for my face paint. I saw cock for my face paint. Cock, face paint. I saw cock for my face paint. I sucked that cock for my face paint, cock. Face paint, cock and face paint. Cock, 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 face paint. Cock, cock, face paint, cock, cock, face paint." And just keep going on. There, of course, there's a musical backing. And I just keep going and singing the words cock and face paint.
How long did you go for?
Just until the song ended. It's not much longer than that, but like it's just, you know, the last... I don't know, a minute and a half of the song is just the words cock and face paint. And so I get done with this audition. People don't really laugh.
Are people laughing?
Or clap or anything. I don't know. There might have been one or two people. But there are only like, I don't know, there are six people in the whole.
Oh, my God.
Because it's Lorne and I think Marcy Klein is there. Probably Tina Fey, I believe, was there. And there are people, this is being piped out to, I think, Burbank, where people are watching from there. You get done and you don't really know what you've just done. Like, did they like it? Did they not like it? So I collected my stuff. That was it. And I started walking out in there and I saw Lorne. He shook my hand and I just said, "Thank you. Sorry about all the cocks." And I didn't even say... I can't. I think I just said sorry about all the cocks, and then just left. And that was. And then next thing I knew it, I got the job. But it was.
Oh my God!
It was.
Did you ever?
There's a more concise way to tell that story, so I apologize.
I had heard that recently, and it made me laugh so hard. I think is really an important story in terms of who you are comedically, at least to me, because you're somebody who. We've had other people on the show, like Taryn was on the show, Fred from SNL, and everyone says about you that you were their favorite. You were the one.
What?
I mean, you were their favorite. You were the one who they admired the most. And you are that to me because you took these crazy, like, absurdist chances. And
that's nice of you to say.
Oh, no, Will. And that's, in fact, there are a lot of, I asked people their favorite sketch that didn't make it, and you are always the star.
I had a lot of sketches that didn't make it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, like dress rehearsal star, like the sketch that would be just a little too weird. And my favorite sketches were like Calhoun and like the ones that you did, you know, the Falconer, the ones that were like the second to last or the last sketch. Those to me are my
favorite. Oh, thank you. Tim Calhoun, that was another one I got to do at the, you know, that came from the Groundlings. So
oh, that's right.
That in my audition too. Oh, just one more thing about that, the Gold Man.
Yeah.
I actually tried to put it up for the show. For
that's
Saturday
right.
Night,
that's which, right. They made you, know, you cut the cocks out.
They, yeah, you couldn't say cock. So, but uh-huh. they I put it up and we had substituted different euphemisms, and it was I learned a big lesson because it was. Just wasn't the same. That was one of my favorite things I ever got to do with the Groundlings. And then thank God they didn't pick it. And I was like, one day maybe you'll be able to say cock on NBC.
It's a smart.
And
yeah,
maybe
it's,
one
it's
day you will be able to, but
it's a, that's a dream. Yeah. And I know you got to do some of those sketches on Seth's show, on Seth Meyers' show, where it was like the sketches that didn't make it, then you get to perform them, but it's like, well, what is that? You've already set them up in a way that you don't know know why people are appreciating them.
Yeah, it's that's such a fun thing to do because there's no way to lose when you do his Second Chance Theater because you talk about it for so long in the panel interview. And so you get to talk about the sketch so much that people are... They're either gonna think it's funny or they're gonna think it's horrendous and they're gonna be laughing because they can't believe you ever cared about this sketch so much.
Yeah. So it's misleading. Yeah. It's like,
oh my God, it's so funny you say that because I have to put this up. That somebody had I went and it was while I was doing Last Man on Earth, so I had a beard and a beard was never what the character was gonna be. But somebody actually watched the segment and then just disappeared out of nowhere.
Will's holding up a painting, like a really great painting. He's bald, he's got a beard, and he's got
eyeliner.
Oh my God. Like wait, who's sending you these? They're both.
It's a wonderful art student. This was several years ago, and I kept their address.
Beautiful work. It's weird. It's a painting of you with like heavy eyeshadow on, like blue eyeshadow, and a big.
It's just a big beard. It looks exactly like the character as it was on Seth Meyers' show. So this person was just sent this over. I have no idea how they found my address. I guess it's right in the. I just moved, by the way. So good luck finding the next one, guys. And I saved their letter, and now I'm sure they've moved, and I'll never be able to reach out to them. But if you were that person, reach out because I want to say thank you because I've always intended to get back to them. But they didn't have a phone number, so it meant that I had to send them a letter, and I'm just such a dumbass with correspondence. Can I go find it?
Yes. Oh wow! Amazing you found it. Will has found.
I got it.
The yes.
Do you know what? I'm such a dumbass. I'm seeing right now that they even left their email. So I could have emailed too. It wasn't just an address.
All right. Well, maybe.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I can get in touch with this person. Okay. They said, dear Second Chance Theater, WF. Pals, I think. Enclosed, you'll find two paintings, oil board, of Benjamin Franklin from Second Chance Theater. The paintings slipped my mind until spring cleaning, and I deemed the portraits too dangerous to keep around the house. Too much sexuality for one gal to have hanging on the walls. You have to see these paintings because it's.
Yeah.
That is a very nice, sarcastic. But
maybe we should explain the sketch too. It was Benjamin Franklin. It was two people who had a friend who had a single friend, and they were trying to set them up with this single friend, and the single friend ended up being Benjamin Franklin. Was had all these nice attributes. Am I explaining this correctly?
Yeah. So the people were trying to set me up, but yeah, we shared some common interests, and it was all about, like, you know, oh, you're gonna love this woman. She's a big fan of history and yes. this and that. You know, God, I forget, you know, colonial architecture. I don't know. I don't remember all this stuff, but it was, you know, it was and
almanacs.
Yeah. And like this person, this woman who is the spitting image of Benjamin Franklin, whose name is Benjamin Franklin, and things get very flirtatious and sexual, and somehow this person is into it, even though I'm a woman who looks like Benjamin Franklin, but also have a beard.
Which he didn't have, right?
He did not have a beard, no.
Yeah.
But he had, you know, he's got male pattern baldness up on top.
Well, you had the beard because when you did it on Seth's, you had the beard for Last Man on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So was it the half beard?
It was full beard.
Oh, okay. All right. So someone, a fan made made a painting.
Oh my God. Do you know what I'm just seeing right now? She said, I think I have a slightly larger one kicking around somewhere too. What? How did I? And I, this is just what a bomb I, like, how do I not just immediately say, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Thank you. Oh my God. Search for the bigger one.
Well, can I answer that for you? So you don't sound like a dick.
Yeah.
Let me preface by saying, chances are this person is like totally sweet and insane, but there is a chance that that it's not the case. That there's maybe it might be become problematic were you to engage in a correspondence.
You know what? That's a good point. Now you've made me feel much better, even though that had nothing to do with me not corresponding with her.
It was pure just laziness.
Just being lazy. I don't know. You know. I have piles of stuff to do, and then if I have a project I'm doing, you get to the end of it, and you don't want to like take the time to write back a nice letter. You're like, oh, I want to do that, but not today. I'm kind of tired. I've just been working. I want to sit down and play my Tiny Wings or do a crossword or obsessively watch MSNBC or something like that. So
something important. I know.
Yeah, those and then it that, just builds know. Up a little bit at a time, and then you're like, oh, now I feel like doing it, but where do I start? So I just, it's just like I have these, this is June 4th, 2017. And I have, look at this. Wait, this is what a horrible person I am. 397 unread texts.
Oh my God. He's showing me his phone. 309. Oh
34,502 unread emails.
Holy shit. Do you
16 phone messages I haven't listened to. I'm just a horrible
I'm so curious about them. Aren't you those 347 texts from people you know, I'm presuming, mostly?
Yeah, well, I mean, with that one thing that was a big one that really stopped things up was I was at a friend's wedding in France. A buddy of mine, one of my closest friends, got married in France, and it was the actual ceremony was at the exact moment that the Emmys announced the nominations, and this was the first year of Last Man on Earth, and I got nominated for acting and writing, which was amazing. So I got just a ton of emails from friends and coworkers, but I was watching somebody get married.
Sure,
in France,
you can't
address
that.
It's at the end of the day, and then we go to this reception, and we're drinking. So all of a sudden, the next day. We were also still trying to prepare for Last Man on Earth. And I just, you know, had this backlog started there. And then, you know, you have a birthday and a bunch of people. And then I just, when it gets to a certain point, I just go, oh, I'm giving up.
Then you find, oh, I haven't responded in however many days. Then it becomes rude. Then it demands, you can't just say, oh, haha, or you have to explain your absence. I don't blame you. I think it's a good problem to have. I mean, you're lucky that these things have been, you've been busy.
Well, it's not always that. Sometimes it's, you know, I went through a period for a couple years of, like, Last Man on Earth, that period was a real mixed bag. I mean, obviously, I loved the show and was proud of the show and thrilled to work with the people I worked with. It was just a big, wonderful family of people, but it was also the craziest amount of work. And I
bet.
Like, when the first year, I think I maybe went and did 9 social things. Like, for instance, New Year's of that first year, I was writing until 11:55, and I went next door and watched the ball drop with my neighbors, and then went back home at 12:10 and started writing again. It was that level of work, and it's not a good excuse. It's like, it's just about setting priorities, and I didn't, you know, I prioritized the show and let a lot of friendships slide for a while, and I feel really guilty, and I you know, a lot of people, I have a lot of apologies to make.
Well, we can do it right now. Yeah, where do you want to begin?
I want to start with...
not with me.
Go to my first...
yeah.
I'm
gonna go to the first text.
Back.
Let's go down the text.
And just see... I'm going to go down for a while. I'm going to go down
scrolling
a significant amount, and then I'm just going to pick one that I did... Okay, I don't even know who that person is, so I don't feel bad about that one.
I want to hear that one.
Okay, Frederick, my friend Frederick.
Frederick. Let's hear it.
Frederick Bond. Dude,
Frederick,
I'm sorry.
Bond, here's your apology.
He said, I'm back in LA, ready to kick some ass on the tennis court. Let me know if you're game for a game or if you just want to sit in silence on the court and pretend to read your book. And Frederick's awesome. And
that's
like,
funny.
This
a funny
was,
text.
This was like a
2018.
Year and a half ago. And I freaking fuck that dude over, and I didn't say anything. So, Frederick, I'm sorry.
Well, maybe he's still on the court.
Scott Grimes, this wonderful man that I met several years ago. He and his
really good actor.
Wife. Any chance he'll be in San Diego for Comic-Con?
Were you?
July 18th, 2018. I might have even been there. No, I don't think I was that. But I mean, you're down there, and it's you are on a tight schedule. And that was back in the, you know, back in those days, I remember we would, they got us driven down there, and I worked on the computer with, we brought a couple writers, and we were working in the back of that car.
You were writing too.
Yeah.
I mean, in writing,
oh, it was
and
crazy.
It's a single camera show. So you're, Scott, I'm talking to Scott right now. Scott, it's he knows he's an actor. It's round the clock shooting. It's like doing, imagine you're doing the Critters TV show and you're writing on it.
Yeah. And editing also, you know, it's, I mean, we have the editors and writers, but, you know, I was very hands-on and a little control freaky. So let's see, I'll go back a little further.
Okay.
Oh,
this
what
is
a
fun.
Dick I feel. And by the way, that's 400 unread ones. There are so
that's
many
crazy.
That I read and didn't respond to.
You didn't respond to? Oh my God.
What a dick.
Wait, I'll
okay,
hear more.
Okay, found one. Pat Driscoll. Oh my God.
Pat Driscoll.
This is 2016. Hey, I'm in town through next Friday. Sure you're busy, but if you have some time, I'd love to grab a drink.
Well, he was right.
Of course, no worries if you can't, but figured I'd reach out.
Oh.
Love you.
What?
This guy's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I mean, all these people, all three of these people are people who are basically... not in my life anymore because I haven't reached out in a while, so I'm gonna change that because they're all fantastic people.
How do you do that? How do you do you have an assistant? I mean, like, you can't have an assistant respond to those. Can you take a day? Do you just?
I did have this fantasy that I was just gonna start going down that list and just going and calling the people and just, you know, saying I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I you know, it's. And then I go, why not just, it's super easy to just say, I'm going to do 5 a week or, you know, 5 a week. That's easy. Or 1 a day. How about 1 a day? And then everyone understands. I would understand if somebody called me and said, I'm so sorry. I was been super busy. If you know, if you call up and say, "Hey, you're a person I love. I want you in my life." I think I would understand that if somebody called up and I'd say, "Yeah."
You know what I've been doing, Will, that you might like actually. It might come in handy for this. Is the voice text? Is the voice memo text? You can just hold the thing down.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that?
Yeah. You know what? Do you know what text? I do? I've started really taking a road trip and just calling people that I've needed to catch up with.
That's great.
I try to be a nice person, but I'm like this mixture of a really nice person and a fucking piece of shit asshole. Like it's so
that's not true.
I think I know what it comes from a little bit. I used to be kind of a pushover a little early. I would just do a lot of things for other people. And I would get complaints from the people who I was really close with that, like, if I wanted something done, I'd need to know you less. Like, you prioritize people you don't know over the people you do. And I realized you're freaking dead right. So I tried to start doing the other way around. And then what I ended up doing was not prioritizing those people, but just playing video games and just... I always feel like there's a good person in here that some people get to see, some people don't, and like this podcast is a good reminder that that's right, I want to be a nice person.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over, because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and over we'll meet again.
From my perspective, you are one of the nicest, but I also understand the flip side, which is the amount of time that you've had to expend doing things professionally. You know, don't shortchange that either. I mean, like, you've been a really busy human being.
I think with me, it's more just my brain. I've never been like a diagnosed OCD person, but I definitely have some level of OCD, and I think it comes in, you know, sometimes I get a little more swept up in minutia and just like thinking about things it's harder for me to break out of patterns. And so it's, I don't know. I don't want to.
How does that manifest, Will? Like what's the,
I hate using that as some excuse because there are people.
No,
super debilitating. So I don't throw that around. There is definitely, I have to bring my fiance around to say, hey, you know, like we left from our place down south a couple of days ago. And when I'm going out, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go check that all the showers are off and stuff. Come watch with me. And she's watching as I'm doing my patterns. And I'm like, these are all off, right? And she's like, yes, they're off. Let's go. And then I have to go to the other bathroom. It's like,
is it all faucet related? No. Is it
faucets and like stoves?
Oh, no kidding.
And stoves are crazy because for 20 years, I don't think I maybe used the stove twice. I would just go out all the time, and I would still religiously check those fucking stoves.
How does your fiance process that? What does she say about it? Is she like, well, does she roll her eyes, or is she like, this is annoying?
She knows this is part of who I am, and
she
shakes her head, and she's I think kind of fascinated by it, a little fascinated, a little annoyed, and just like, I gotta deal with this because this is how you are, and
it's part of you, and she loves you.
Yeah, and my mom, various people in my life have told me I should go see somebody about it, and I feel like, you know what, I can go out of the house. I can. There are people who have it in incredibly debilitating ways, and I'm lucky to not be somebody like that. But it does affect, like, it affects relationships, and it comes out in other ways that are not just destruction related fears. Completing tasks is a big thing. So if you get me around a jigsaw puzzle, you know, just say goodbye to whatever evening you thought you were going to have with me.
Well, which is fascinating to me, Will, because you strike me as somebody who is, and this is what I love about the show. I love getting to learn things like this from people I admire, because one of the things I admire so much about you is your fearlessness. You have this sense, to me, what you do on stage, you were talking about doing just the gold man on the audition. That must take such balls. It must take such confidence. And it's an interesting juxtaposition that you were able to do that, and some of the characters you played on SNL, Tim Calhoun, I'm thinking of, which is fucking weird and like for network TV. And there's not you don't seem to have any fear. You commit to those things.
That's very nice of you to say, first of all. Thank you. I mean, first of all, it is scary to do a lot of times, like some of that stuff, especially the first time you do it. You know, you don't know how the audience is going to react. And it's like jumping out of an airplane, I guess. It's
right. Yeah, scary.
I don't know. I guess it's because I'm so needing to control stuff. I think it's like, here's something I can't control. Here it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God! Interesting.
Maybe. I have no idea. I mean, it's
I don't know how else to explain, because to me that is that. I mean, it's that level of fearlessness that is required, is like jumping out of an airplane.
But sometimes that parachute doesn't open.
Well, that's the thing. Feel like? Because I've had versions
horrible.
Of that, but
never. You know, you just feel like, what am I doing in this business? And I remember, God, before I got my first writing job, I almost just left the business. I was just like, had one just really bad night on stage where I was just thought, oh, people hate me. And I felt, it's hard to have a bad night. Even
back.
Now after, you know, you think you're immune to it, and it's, you know, it hurts to be doing something that is what you love doing and have people not like it. And I've experienced a lot of that. Oh my God, I've done a lot of stuff that people have not liked. So.
What's that? But then what is it like? Because when you commit to something like that, and you're as funny as you are, is there a part of you when they don't like it? Do you ever think? So I'm thinking specifically now about MacGruber, which is, I think, the funniest studio movie that was made in the last 10 years. But at the time, when it comes out, doesn't do well. Do you think, is it a huge letdown? Or do you think, God, I know this is funny. Like, almost like they're wrong.
That was a good lesson one, because, yeah, it's hard not to at first just feel like, oh my God, what a failure. You take a couple weeks and you're like, you know what? We got to make the movie that we wanted to make. We just thought we wouldn't have changed a thing. So there was a little part of us that was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm proud of this movie. Like, I don't,
yeah,
you know,
good.
It's not, it's, this one's not on us, this one's on you. And certainly, you know, it's not a movie that's for everybody, but we never thought that. We wanted to make a movie that we would have wanted to see. And that's only me, Yorma, and John. We wanted to make that movie, the movie the three of us would see, so the fact that more than three people saw it was a win for us. I'm glad we didn't take any kind of notes to try to make it more commercial, because then so much of it's out of your control. It probably would have bombed anyway. You're like, what, whatever. But I was, you know, that's why we could go, okay, I'm, you know, this week, I stand by this. This was what I thought would be funny. And I'm not, you know, some people still think it sucks. And it's like, well, agree to disagree respectfully.
Totally disagree, but it's kind of what you were saying about the sketch where the gold man sucking cock, the cock thing was like, you know, if you don't do that the right way, if you don't like really commit to that, if you don't use the word cock, it loses something, and there's something really special that whatever made it funny or special or and I'm thinking about MacGruber. Had MacGruber been sanitized and wouldn't be as special as it is.
You're lucky if you get one chance to write something and be in the thing you wrote. So it's you know, I am many levels of appreciative to so many different people for somehow taking a chance on me.
Even
after so many bombs in a row, it's like, hey, why don't we give another chance to this guy who's shown nothing
I'm so glad they did. I watch it all the time, and I got to work with Ryan with Philippi a couple months ago, and is he funny? He's like shockingly funny. I had no idea.
He is one of the most important ingredients in that movie because without him, he grounds that movie
straight man,
in such an amazing way. Him and
you know, he's so earnest. He's so
Booth.
That was really committing. I mean, like, he allows you to do these ridiculous things because he's really committing to it. What made you think about Ryan? What made you think to cast it that way, to go after Powers Booth and Ryan Phillippe?
The tough decision going in just before even thinking about any individuals is like, you have all of, you know, this is coming from the Saturday Night Live family. So you have access to all these amazing people. Like, do you get like a Sudeikis or Hader or Sandberg or Fred or, you know, just all these awesome people. And then we thought, you know, I think it would be valuable to the movie to try to fill out the rest of the world. Like already we have, me and Wig and Maya, if we're trying to do these somewhat legitimate action movies, let's fill out the rest of the cast with legit actors that aren't so comedy. So, you know, you can really present that world in that way. So like once we realized that, which was a hard decision to make because you do a lot of guesswork in your head, like, well, I've never seen somebody do this, so, but maybe they could do this, and I don't know. And then Ryan is out there, and you're like, oh my god, he's just like a real actor. Like, it just made all the sense in the world. And same with Powers Booth. It's like there was such a gravitas to his presence and. I mean, that voice alone, that Powers Booth voice.
MacGruber,
it's just...
We're taking you off this one, MacGruber. Yeah, it's so... He's got immediate authority. And but you're also committing in a way that matches what those guys are doing. It's just like a thing of beauty to me.
But it's... And Wig is so amazing in her commitment. And the two of us are
from
Looney Tunes. To have the gravitas commitment and like the straight man commitment that Ryan had, like they're committing in an equal way at that same level that allows us to be such nuts. And so it's really, they're the heroes of the movie as far as I'm concerned.
The last thing about MacGruber, I just want to ask about the sex scene Were you, how, because there's a wide, I've studied that, I've seen it so many times, and I, there's a, on the wider shot, I, you can see Kristen kind of turning her head and laughing. Was she, am I imagining that, or was she laughing a lot, or, and are there outtakes of that?
I mean, she is such an amazing actress. I mean, obviously, she's like the, in baseball, the five-tool player. She's, she can just do, there's nothing she can't do. And this was just a rare, this, it was her birthday, the day that we did the sex scene.
Oh, happy birthday.
I know.
Wig.
And it was New Mexico in
August. Yeah.
Super hot day.
Jesus. We're, Albuquerque, right?
Upstairs floor, Albuquerque, yep. The second story of this house. So already it's hot. The heat's rising up there. Big movie lights lighting everything. And so I am a sweater. I tend to sweat when I, not if I'm just sitting, like if I'm sitting around in the heat, I can usually hang in there. But if I, like if I were to, you know, just start snapping and it's hot enough, then I just eventually start pouring.
Your fingers slip.
Sweat. Yeah. It would take me like 60 seconds and then I'm sweating everywhere. And I'm also a hairy man. Uh-huh. So this, in this close-up that you're talking about, like she was just dodging all kinds of incoming.
Oh my God.
Huge. I mean, you can see water droplets that are like somebody's blowing bubbles on down on her. It's they're so, it's so big and just she'd get just be matted down with sweat and hair when we were done with the take, and it's just like I felt so bad that was how she had to spend her birthday, and then they everyone else felt so bad too that the production got her a hotel room in Santa Fe and sent her up there, and I think massage package to try to make it go away.
So it was more the sweat. It was more like the droplets of sweat, and not the the heaving orgasm that you're having. It wasn't. She wasn't the heaving.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what it was. I just thought, I think we caught her in a rare moment where she was like, holy shit, what, like, how did I wind up here? What was going on?
Yeah.
She is the best of the best. She's
awesome. The best. I know. In fact, I remember talking to her right before she did that. And I remember having this conversation. It was like, wait, they're doing a sketch? Because I like the sketch. I said, but I remember thinking they're doing a movie from that sketch. I didn't know how they were going to expand it. And she said, it's one of the funniest scripts I've ever read. I remember her going on about the script and being so confused by that project. And, you know, it's something that I've seen I don't know how many times now. Ugh, God, I'm so glad you're doing the series. Is it done? Are you done with the first season?
No, we wrote the whole thing, all 8 episodes, and then we did a rewrite pass, and I think we have to go and do another one, which is more of like a budget pass to try to get the budget, you know, make it a little more producible, which is something we did with the movie. And a lot of my favorite scenes from the movie are scenes that came because they were, because we had to cut down the budget, like the
All
wet, the guy that we rip his throat out, and then he's the cup dropping. That was a budget cut scene, and now it's like,
oh no kidding.
The scene that it replaced was so blah, and so I think this will end up making the scripts even better. But I think anybody who liked the movie I would think will like this. It's same general
tone
and just some really fun stuff we're excited to do. But yeah, we are excited to excited to have the cast
core group.
So, yeah.
Oh wow, that's great.
I mean,
that's
great. Well, I like that now. So.
Okay, yeah. That's exciting. I'm taking way too much advantage of your time. I just have like a lightning round.
Okay.
If you have a little bit more time.
Heck yeah. Sorry, buddy. I said yeah, which was a heck yeah and fuck yeah at the same time.
Hawk yeah. What is your most commonly used emoji?
Definitely the kissing the heart.
I do that a lot. I think in any kind of context.
Yeah.
To a friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should just rifle off a couple of those to all the missing all the unanswered texts.
I feel like they deserve better than that.
Especially after 4 years. If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play?
Basketball. I suck at it. I can't play, but I love watching basketball, and I feel like
me too.
I love football, and I played football in high school, but I
That's right.
Feel like I'd be scared. I'd be too much fear of like CTE stuff. Baseball, I don't react fast enough to be able to hit a baseball, I don't think. And basketball just seems like less of a chance of injury, and it's really a skill that I don't have at all. I'm just incredibly impressed. I mean, I'm impressed by all professional athletes. It's so incredible.
Were you a 49ers
fan? I was a Raiders fan.
Oh, okay.
And it's a really, I'm in a weird place with them right now because they left and went to Las Vegas and left my hometown of Oakland. And that's where I was born. And I am still having mixed feelings about them. I thought that it was poor form to leave Oakland, but there's a little part of me that hasn't been willing to give my whole heart to them this year.
And who's the team? Oh, the Warriors. Then you've gotten
somehow.
To watch.
Somehow, I'm a Clippers fan. I told you I don't know how to play basketball. I'm shitty, so I didn't become a fan of basketball until I went to UCLA for college. So by then, And the other thing was the Golden State Warriors. If they were the Oakland Warriors,
they sucked. Then
they just automatically would have been my team because it was from Oakland. But even as a kid, I didn't understand that they were from Oakland because It was just weird to Golden State.
Yeah,
what's that? I know it's Golden State is California, but it's like I don't want to share a team with.
Yeah.
The whole
with Sacramento and San Diego.
I wanted it to be Oakland, and I just was too young to get it. And then I became a basketball fan, and then was down there. And the easiest way to see basketball cheaply was to go to Clippers games.
Well, if you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, Will, what would it be?
The first thing that came to my mind was Cheez-Its, but I'm sure that I like it's specifically like a candy or chip or something.
Candy, chip, any sort of snack. You're stoned. You just want to munch on something.
Munch on something, probably a breakfast burrito then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did say munch. Yeah, that could be a snack.
Ice cream. What is your favorite? Or cookies with ice cream, brownie sundae. Mud pie.
Cookies dipped in ice cream?
Potato chips. Just any form of potato chips. I'm you just got me going now. Potato chips with onion dip sounds pretty good to me right now. Basically, everything sounds good right now.
Right. What's your favorite movie sequel of all time? Your favorite sequel?
My favorite sequel? I mean, it's probably got to be The Godfather. Godfather 2, right?
Part 3.
Yeah, Part 3. Right? Yeah. Like everybody? Aliens is pretty... Terminator 2.
Terminator, yeah.
Which I just saw the first... You forget about how great the original Terminator is, too. I just saw it again for the first time in a long time, I mean. Yeah. Oh, then that just made me think of... Rambo, First Blood 2.
First Blood 2.
But I mean First Blood. I love First Blood.
Wait, it goes Rambo. No, it goes First Blood, then Rambo, First Blood 2.
Yeah, and is then it called Rambo, First Blood 2? It's Rambo is First Blood 2, right? Or is it Rambo, First Blood 2? Well, whatever First Blood 2
is. I don't know.
Pretty awesome.
I should know this. The one I knew the best was Rambo 3 when he goes to Afghanistan and fights the Russians with the
They're all Mujahideen. Awesome.
Yeah. For some reason, that's the one that I know so much better than the other two.
What do most people answer on that one?
Well, you know what? We just started doing this new question. It used to be, what's your favorite movie? And that became really difficult because, you know, I would get a lot of shit for that. I remember Alec Baldwin really shaming me. Are you fucking kidding? What's my favorite movie? One movie? I'm supposed to pick one movie? There was a lot of that. Like, how do I
think
get...
Mine would be Jaws. Jaws, Jerk. The Jerk is up there. Dr. Strangelove. But probably Jaws.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboo.
If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Here's a weird writing tip for work.
Don't.
Hear me out.
You can generate your draft fast with Canva Docs.
Canva Docs have an AI text generator built in called Magic Write, which is powered by OpenAI.
You can generate any text you want for work, including meeting agendas, job descriptions, marketing plans, sales proposals, you name it.
Just start with a prompt and you'll have a draft in seconds.
And all you need to do is tweak your draft and you're done.
It's a serious time saver and the perfect way to beat the blank page.
You can even reword sentences, summarize or expand text, and so much more. One thing that sometimes stumps me is writing very basic descriptions for the podcast. And sometimes the hardest part is coming up with the very first couple sentences. Canva's Magic Write is so helpful because once it generates a few thought starters, the rest comes much, much easier. Try Canva Docs with an AI text generator built in.
Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
We've been karaokeing before. You're so fun to karaoke with. What is your go to? And I've heard you.
We've done a lot of singing together because we did karaoke together, and then we did Dylan Fest a couple times, right?
Yes. God, I missed that. I remember once we sang Hurricane.
Hurricane for sure.
And we feel like we did other things too.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That was fun.
I just watched it. Oh, my God. It was so fun. I haven't seen any of those guys in a long time.
I haven't either. I don't know if they still do that. I know they were getting sponsored at one point by some – Jameson? Some.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Just keep coming. Yeah. You said you just watched what?
Oh, like a behind the – some kind of documentary on the Traveling Wilburys. I've always been a huge Beatles fan, but somehow I love all Beatles, but George Harrison just, I somehow caught on to him too late. Even though I knew All Things Must Pass pretty well, but then there was this, what's it called? Early Takes. Do you have that album?
Yeah. Is it the Early Takes?
Early Takes is an album which is basically, I could be getting this wrong, but I'm pretty sure that like when he wanted to make this record, he wanted to see if Phil Spector would make it or he had signed up Phil Spector already and was sending him just his own kind of stripped down version of some of the songs. And this is like a lot of songs that were on that ended up being on All Things Must Pass, but and some other songs.
Yeah, yeah. My Sweet Lord was on it. A demo of it.
Super. Yeah.
I'd have you anytime. Oh, wow.
I mean, it's so great, and it just...
Oh, I gotta check this out.
It really jumped me into just really... and then the George Harrison documentary came out, and then so I just good. Was...
I just I don't fell know, in love
I just
with
really,
it.
Yeah, I, yeah. I, and I was kind of kicking myself for not, not knowing more about him earlier.
Yeah.
Kind of like So Traveling Wilburys,
yeah.
That was just to see. I mean, I remember thinking, oh, this is cool. But like looking back now, as I get a little bit older and I look, just watching that, there was something really special about watching those dudes,
those guys all come together. Yeah.
And I realized, fuck, Roy Orbison was only like 52 when he died. And I'm 50
That's what's
now.
Crazy.
And
he always looked like an old guy. He always had that Wilford Brimley thing where he looked like he was an old crusty rocker. But I guess he was like not... much
52.
Older
52. I think it was 52. Could have been 53.
That's and, crazy.
Yeah. So
and George
so
was in his late 50s. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so what would be your go-to karaoke song, Will?
My go-to karaoke song.
You sign up for one. It's at an event where like tons of people are signing up and you can only do one.
Okay. If I am singing alone...
Yeah.
It's either going to be War Pigs with Black Sabbath or Fairies Wear Boots. Uh-huh. Fairies Wear Boots, Black Sabbath, or Mama Tried, Merle Haggard.
Oh, wow.
Or Folsom Prison Blues, Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Or Just Once, James Ingram. Just Once, but then most of the times that I do karaoke, I'm with Sudeikis.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll be either Falling Slowly. That's why we did it on Last Man on Earth so many times, because that's just what we would sing anyway. Falling Slowly or I Can't Fight This Feeling, REO Speedwagon.
Oh, I've heard you guys do that. Yeah. It's
Always and Forever is another one.
Uh-huh.
Or oh my God, our Falling Slowly, when we had done it so many times that the new Falling Slowly for us is... In the Shallows or Shallow Lalo?
Oh,
lalo.
In the Shallows.
Wait, is it called In the Shallows or is it just called Shallows?
I think Shallows, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's the new one. My favorite thing to do in that is
Shallow.
The Lady Gaga part when it starts to turn,
it starts to ramp up like
chorus, and she's, and just, I can't. Do it full throated here because I break the
I'm
microphone, but
you
it's,
do it.
Oh, it's really so fun. It is so fun.
Yeah, because you'll take the like power ballady part, as I recall, and like really commit to like full voiced power singing.
Oh yeah, we love it,
yeah.
And we do a lot of the SNL characters, John Bovey, the people who did the opposite band of Bon Jovi, we'll do a lot of those Bon Jovi songs and Bovey the lyrics. So just do the opposite lyrics that we used to do. So that's kind of fun to, and sometimes we'll do that with other songs too, where we'll just try to kind of on the spot reverse the lyrics.
I'm trying to think of one of Bon Jovi song now, or a Bon Jovi or John Bovey.
So John Bovey would be like, so Bon Jovi obviously is the regular song, and then John Bovey, our Bon Jovi opposite band, John Bovey would be like, you know, 'cause I'm an Indian on a cotton horse I do not ride, and I'm unwanted, alive and dead. Or wait, the one I've been hearing a lot is, we're all the way there. Oh, dying on a curse. Take my foot. We will not make it. I do not swear. Oh, dying on a curse. Dying on a curse. So, we have some that we've done a bunch that we remember, but then there are some we just try to too.
Take my foot. Stupid. Speaking of Bon Jovi, who was your first celebrity crush that you remember?
With you? Cheryl Ladd. From what I remember.
Yeah.
Farrah Fawcett.
Yep.
And probably Sean Cassidy too. I remember having a.
You had you really had a thing for that hair.
I had a full-length Sean Cassidy poster, and I got the most pissed I think I ever got at anybody was somebody ripped my poster in half, and I was livid. But really? I think, yeah, Cheryl Ladd probably is Farrah Fawcett and Cheryl Ladd.
If you had I don't know if you have tattoos, but if you had to get one, or if you had to get another one, what would it be?
And I would get my dogs. I would get my dogs. Inside my butthole. So it's just my own thing. Nobody gets to see it, but I know it's there.
Except your doctor, maybe, and you probably don't get to see it.
I'd let my doctor see it.
Yeah. And what were they? What type of dogs were they? Massive dogs?
They are big dogs. They're not huge. They're one is an Australian Shepherd.
Uh-huh, they're great.
Mud Butt is his name.
Uh-huh. Is it really?
Then, yeah.
My butt?
Mud Butt. We were watching something. We thought the dog was named Mud Butt, but it was Mud Bud. But we had already decided, oh my God, Mud Butt. What if we ever get another dog? And then our other dog, my fiance had when we met, and it's this... she had found it when it was a puppy in a cardboard box front of a Ross Dress for Less. So his name is Ross.
Oh.
And he's a sweetie. He's like a lab mutt, basically.
Oh, wow. Great. But like intricate to have inside your butthole.
Yeah.
What is your favorite fruit, would you say?
Probably an apple. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that was.
What's
funny.
My favorite? Oh, blueberries. Probably blueberries. What am I talking about?
Like a nice, ripe, wild blueberry.
Well, we've just been eating a bunch of apples. The crisp one. I forget the name of it, but I always forget it. But I'm like, God, why don't I eat more apples?
I know. There's one.
I'm dumbass.
Every once in a while, there's one that's in season in LA anyway. Like it must be like 3 weeks a year. I forget the name of it, but I always think like. Oh, God,
it's kind of, the one I love is like the yellow and kind of pink one.
It's so crisp. It's like
crunchy and crisp.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I wish I knew. And who would you want to play you in your biopic, Will? In the untitled Will Forte
biopic. Who would I want to play me? Probably Kristen Wiig.
Oh, yeah. Does she do an impression
of you? No.
Who'd you say does one? Seth does, right? Seth Meyers does one.
Seth does one where he just kind of talks like this.
Yeah.
And he does too. I'm trying to think of who. Oh, you know who would be really fun to play me? My mom. I'd get my mom. My mom's. She's. I don't know if you ever met her, but she is a delight.
No. I just heard Pete Holmes on his thing talking about. Talking about her, she did a show at Largo that was sounded so fun. So funny. No, but you described her and she sounds just really great.
Yeah, I basically made her. I just said, just do everything I write for you. Say, and she did these things where she basically had to tell off the audience. But I was like, it was
like
kind of
shit.
Bit where I'm like, okay, mom. I basically had written all these things where I was like, so these are the things that you told me to remember to write down and then give to you because you thought you'd forget them. And then it was like, fuck you piece of shit. Like she'd say to the audience, I'm like, mom, why would you do that? That's crazy. And then, you know, okay, here's the other one that you wanted. And just like, I don't know. It was slightly more artful than that. Not much, but.
My favorite part of that story is that she said, I guess she was kind of nervous. She was about to go on stage and she said, oh, should I leave my purse? Should I bring my purse? And you thought, oh, no, she should definitely leave her purse. And then you said, oh, no, bring your purse.
She said, "Should I bring my purse?" And I said, "Oh yeah, for sure, bring your purse." And then the moment she comes out on stage, I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing with your purse out here? Are you crazy? Put your fucking purse back in." She's so fun because she just rolls with everything and just she's really, really funny.
Almost done. Who's your favorite Simpsons character?
God,
this is tough.
I mean, Homer is always gonna be the. But I love Ned Flanders.
I love Ned. I remember when Ned took his shirt off in that in the Tennessee Williams. They're doing Streetcar. Stella, when he reveals that he's ripped. That was one of those moments where I thought, like, God, these guys are just so far ahead of the comedy curve. They're just that choice. It's such an inspired thing to make that guy ripped.
Yeah.
You prefer dogs or cats?
Gotta say dogs. I mean, not even close. But I have met some cats that are pretty cool. But it's mainly all dogs are pretty cool, and for me it's like, oh, some cats are cool, but some are pieces of shit, you know?
Yeah. So. We used to have this question, the Simpsons one replaced it, but I'm curious about who your favorite Muppets character was when you were growing up. I'm guessing you were a fan of the Muppets.
Swedish Chef. I mean, I like what is it, Gonzo? Is Gonzo the little purple one with the weird...
It
might have been him. Or I loved those dudes up in the balcony.
Oh, Statler and Waldorf. Yeah.
Yes. I loved those guys.
Could this go any longer? Huh? Beatles or Stones? I think I know this.
That is a tough one. Because Beatles. But like the Stones, that's like saying, hey, would you rather have $50 billion or $49.5 billion?
Right.
I guess I'll take the 50, but I mean, like,
but it'd be great to have.
And sometimes I prefer the $49.5 billion. Like,
yeah, I just,
but it's
right.
I mean, that stretch of frickin' Beggar's Banquet, Sticky Fingers,
and the longevity too.
And Goat Head Soup. Is that the one, or is it? No. Let It Bleed? Let it Bleed. Whatever that album stretch, is just unbelievable. But, I mean, the Beatles are, I don't know.
Would you
ask me next year, and I might go the other way, but you know.
Do you do any of those guys, the Beatles or the Stones? I heard your Joni Mitchell is really great. You do a great Joni Mitchell.
Oh, do I do impersonations of any of the Beatles?
Yeah, you say you don't, but then...
What do you think? What do you think? This is, I don't even need to tell you who this is.
That's definitely...
This is definitely one of the Beatles.
I don't want to insult
here's
the listeners.
Here's another Beatle. Then here's another one. Hello.
Oh, you do all of them.
The Beatles.
Oh.
And then, of course, I'm here, too. I'm here, too. Cheerio. And then it's little old me with
that's
the final
five.
Beetle.
You're on five. No, I think you've done.
This is the fourth Beetle.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Well,
the fifth
wanna...
one was just the third Beetle doing a second voice. He was trying out a voice.
Oh, by the way, that's right. You did that. What was the impression? That's such a brilliant idea to do an impression of somebody who has a cold. Oh, you're Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen
impression.
It's the SNL one. I did the I just was, you know, I am Martin Sheen. I don't do impersonation, so it's like.
But this is a great.
I got to figure out. The impersonations I would do at the Groundlings were all like, you know, weren't impersonations. It was just like, what the hell's the dude? Gordon Lightfoot. And I had never once looked up Gordon Lightfoot doing an interview or anything. I just like would talk however I wanted. Gordon, like, oh, how do I think Gordon Lightfoot would talk based on hearing him sing Sundown. It was weird to try to like, to do an impersonation where you have to try to sound like somebody.
But you got out of it with the Martin Sheen one by just saying, What was the? What
oh,
was
that's the... right. I said, "Oh, I'm Martin Sheen, and I've had a cold lately. So if you know, if I sound like myself, great. But if I don't, it's because of that cold."
That's so dumb.
I'm sure I had it worked out a little bit more, but not much. It's probably that's probably even better than what I had taken 2 weeks to work up.
Seinfeld or Friends, if they were on, which one do you watch?
Seinfeld, Friends, and Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers is probably my favorite all time.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. I mean, favorite of like the old sitcoms. Cheers, Small Wonder.
Small Wonder. Golden Girls? Small Wonder. Oh, really?
You know what? I never really knew the Golden Girls. It wasn't that I watched and didn't like. There are certain ones that I just didn't see. And the Cheers was that was like super funny and loving the characters. There was just something about Cheers that was it was such a magical show.
And when you were falling in love with comedy, probably, and you were that age where you were, it was the show. Yeah. Ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup.
Yep. And well, what's the one adjective you'd want people to use to describe you after you've left the earth?
Giving. Yeah. Giving would be the one that I think would be, which I don't know that, you know, that's the thing is like, oh, that's the challenge to myself is like, I don't think people would say that right now. That would be the goal is to like, well, why don't you fucking do more to make it be the case that that is what people say about you. You know, I don't know. I go through stretches where I am a very giving person and then I'll just kind of tune the world out. So,
well, you've given me way too much of your time. I really, I can't.
Do you know how many texts I have added to the list now?
No. I can imagine. Well, I hope you get to all of them. You should never second guess your goodness and your generosity. You've always been such a kind presence whenever I've been around you. I love being around you, and this was so fun.
Well, let's hang out once it's safe again.
I would like some
karaoke. Yeah.
Keep in touch.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Will.
Okay, see you later. Have a good night.
So that happened.
So that happened.
He's a little cruddy.
Yes, that happened. Yeah, but he's also very there's a subdued.
His L's. He has a little bit of like a Tom Cavanaugh.
Yes. Oh God, now I want to hear it again. Listen. He's got a very unique voice. There's nobody like him, I don't think.
He's really fun. He reminds me a little bit of Fred Armisen in that they're different, but they're both the kind of people who are so funny that even them saying the most mundane, benign thing. Yeah. Like I noticed it when he said he likes apples at the end, and it made you laugh. And he's like, they're the kind of people who can say I like apples, and that's funny.
You're right. You're right.
Everything's funny.
You're right.
Potentially.
In a different way, McConaughey has a little bit of that.
Like, in a different way.
In a different way. They've reached this – they have this level of funny that is so subtly funny and dry at times that like it then, yeah, colors everything else they say as being
funny.
That's
high praise for McConaughey. I've noticed that you've talked about him a lot.
I can't get him out of my
mind.
On
the show since he's been a guest. He's starting to rival Tom Brady mentions on the show. Uh-huh. I mean, he's not nearly there yet.
Come on. We also talked about Tom Brady today.
That's true.
Will is – there's something also – yeah, like he gets very – he's very thoughtful. He's a very good listener. And there's something kind of childlike about him too, which is another thing he has in common with Fred.
Yes.
I think there's a whimsy. There's like a childlike sense of wonder. Sweet. Yeah, it's weird that it's disarming when he then does something so dark because he's also capable of playing like the darkest. Those guys, those like final sketches on Saturday Night Live characters, you know, that he like that guy who does what's his name that he
talks Calhoun.
Really, he's like this. They're like borderline. And Fred's got these characters too. They're
it's
creepy.
It's like maniacal.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the story he told about his SNL audition, when he did the gold man in a song. It goes from being like light, sweet, innocent to so filthy so quickly.
It's so funny. I know.
I laughed out loud when he said what tattoo he'd get. And he said, I'd get my dogs inside my butthole. And he said it so earnestly.
Yeah.
He commits to things.
Yeah, exactly.
So well.
Exactly.
That.
Exactly.
And that's an example of his, like, sweetness.
Yeah.
That
he gets away with
seamlessly
it.
Into something super filthy.
It's like a Trojan horse comedian. He gets away. He gets to, like, he sneaks in through this guise of geniality and, like, kind of innocence.
He is genial.
He's genial that's and innocent sounding. And then he says something like that. That's like, that's a perfect example of Will and his brilliance. Because that's a funny line. It's definitely a funny line. But it's extra funny when he delivers it in that way.
Right. And it's absurd, but if you deliver it in a simple, matter-of-fact way, it becomes real.
Right. It's the opposite of being like, I get a tattoo in my butthole.
Right.
You know, like really, you can see that in a lot of like bad comedy acting too, I've noticed. Like people like play the what sounds funny instead of just like you know, we watch Seinfeld all the time. There's no better example of like, they're just committing to the intentions of the scene. They're committing to the situation.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe he's able to leave all those texts unread.
Isn't that crazy?
It's unbelievable.
Hundreds.
For a year, like 4 years.
I know.
He has unread texts. I would lose my mind. And part of it, I was especially surprised because he talks about I think he has OCD. He thinks he has OCD.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are things I relate to. Yeah, I could really connect with him about that. Like the oven stuff, I have that, and having to finish, like once I start a project, like a puzzle or something.
Yeah, but his sounds more advanced, like the way he can't leave a house. I mean, you can leave, you go check maybe, but like.
No, I'm more than check. If I'm leaving a property for, like if I'm leaving the lake house, sounds so bougie. If I'm leaving the lake house, I fixate on the oven knobs and. And like finishing projects, I have, like finishing a crossword puzzle, I have to do. But so I related to him on that in that way, but I couldn't understand how someone who is OCD
wouldn't check those messages.
Would not like fixate on what those unread text messages said.
I know. I mean, it sounded like there were people that he really liked that he intended, because I'll have like unread emails from things that like I don't want to get to.
But hearing him read these texts that haven't been read in 4 years on the show felt so therapeutic in a way, and I enjoyed listening to it so much. Him, for the first time, reading these unread texts, I could have listened to that all day.
Yeah.
There was something so satisfying about, it's like, they're not even my texts, but hearing him discover four-year-old texts on the spot was so gratifying.
You know why? Because there's an element of, you can almost hear the person's message read in their voice, and the voice has been shut for so long. It's like, I want to tell you this thing.
Yeah, it's like the genie's leaving the bottle.
Yeah, and then it's just like when he reads them, it's like, oh, I just wanted to say it was really fun hanging out the other night.
Mm-hmm. It's a relief.
It's a relief, yeah.
It's a relief.
Yeah, I wonder why. You know, I wondered if there was something that, he opened a text once and it was like got bad news or something, or if there's something like triggering about opening those texts.
Maybe
or if they pile up long enough, like reminds me of sometimes like when work to me piles up, I get overwhelmed and I like shut down.
Or even like an email that you should have responded to, or someone that is waiting for your, if long enough goes by, you were right, you said it to him, you said, I feel like if a long enough time goes by, then you owe them an explanation.
Yeah.
And then the more time goes by, you owe them a bigger explanation.
Yeah,
and then at a certain point, it's like, I'm just going to avoid it because I'm not going to be able to explain it.
Well, that's why voice text comes in so handy, you know, because he's such a good talker and he's smart and he's like charming.
I disagree with the voice text.
Really?
Thing. Yeah. Because voice texts to me are, I think they come in handy when you need to explain something. But in terms of staying in touch with people, they always feel like a bit of a fuck you.
Really?
Yeah, because it tells me, if I get a voice text from someone that I'm waiting to hear back from, let's say, to get a return call from, and I just get a voice text.
Well, that's different.
That means that they have access to their phone. They have time to call me, but they don't want to have a back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
They just want to say the thing they want to say, and they don't want to hear back from me.
Right.
So it feels a little bit like
I know, but
a little bit insulting.
Yeah, I guess if it's been long enough that you haven't responded to somebody, like, that would be kind of insulting.
His lightning round answers were great because he would name like 30 answers for each thing.
Oh yeah, and he'd get really like
he'd get excited, and yeah, then he like named every snack that a person could eat when he you asked what his favorite snack food was.
Yeah, well, he's a real he's into that kind of stuff, you know. He's into like talk. He's just a very curious, open. I've always really liked him. Sorry for that chair noise.
His Beatles impressions were great. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Do you remember his Beatles impressions?
No.
They were like, he was like, "Hello, I'm a Beatle," and then there's, "Hello, I'm a Beatle."
Oh yeah.
These, like,
oh
yeah. Generic bad British accents.
Yeah, it was a little.
I agree with them about my favorite Simpsons character is also Flanders, and favorite emoji is also the kissy emoji.
That's right. Yeah,
we have a lot of crossover.
Yes, you do. You do, and some of the, like you mentioned, the OCD stuff.
Yeah,
not to be proud of that, but you don't want to be not. What's the opposite of proud?
Ashamed.
Ashamed. Yeah,
I'm not ashamed.
No, you shouldn't.
Or proud.
Yeah, good. What is that when you're just new? When you just accept something?
Prame. Should we read a letter?
Sure. Here's a letter from. Pronounced like Tyler, okay, cool, without the T. Eiler. Huh.
How do you spell it?
It's always hard for me when there's a capital I and an L next to each other.
Yeah,
A-R.
Because like, sometimes it could be two...
L's.
Like llama.
Llama, yeah. Well, then it would be a clear L.
And it wouldn't be a person's name.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Eiler. Eiler. That makes total sense. Eiler. Tyler without the T. That's one of those things. They must be so... That must just be rote when they say their name to anyone.
It's like our friend Keir.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, yeah.
It's like beer with a K.
Yeah, it's like beer with a K. Subject, the best answer to the superpower question is... Okay, that's the subject. Hi, Justin and Christian. I, of course, need to start off by saying how much I love your show. Well, you don't have to, but it's really nice, Eiler. I think I really appreciate how your relationship seems so much like me and my younger sisters. Aw. She's one of my best friends, and we're only 2.5 years apart, so we have many shared experiences. Thank you for being you and sharing your life with so many of us. I almost feel like I know you now. That's so nice. Thanks, Eiler. I work for a community health organization. That, you know, that's hard
you
for me to say.
Community, your eyes just bugged
well,
out.
Eiler, come on. You listen to the show. You know I can't say the word community. I work for a community health organization in Southern California, and my specific project involves youth impacted by the juvenile justice system. Wow. Juvenile, not juvenile. As I'm sure you can imagine, trauma is basically the name of the game, and I spend the better part of 8 hours doing very intense work. God, from the office, no working from home for us. Listening to your podcast, and especially your pre- and post-conversations together, brings me so much joy and allows me to take a break from life for a bit. I listen to your shows and pieces throughout the day. When I work out in the morning, getting ready for work, when I take my walk breaks, that is so nice. It's so nice that we're like a part of somebody's day.
So nice.
Really flattering. Thanks, Eiler. Listening to you two, especially the times where you check in or talk with Grandma Jody, gave me an idea to record conversations with my dad and my sister. Great. For a bit of backstory, my mom died when I was 14. I'm 29 as of this email writing, and I don't have any recordings of her or anything to leave future generations to remember her by. We all miss her terribly, and memories are copies of copies, so what I can recall of her is almost as clear as a shitty photocopy. My dad, sister, and I are all extremely close, and we've decided we're going to get together when it's safe to fly again, as I live in L.A. and then in Baltimore, Maryland, to record a few hours of interviews. That's great. Something I wish I had is a recording of my mom's voice. This idea is really just because of your podcast. That is so nice. Sorry, need a second. Hopefully this makes sense and I didn't ramble too long. It makes perfect sense and it was really beautiful. Thank you. That's me saying that. Back to the letter. I'm typing this on my phone as my work ends for the day. If you all ever decide to interview fans, I think I'd actually suggest my dad because he's got some interesting views as an immigrant turned American citizen. That is a good idea, actually.
Huh. Wonder where he's
from. I know. Eiler. I wonder. Wishing you both all the best. With love, Eiler. P.S. I think I've perfected the response to what would my superpower be. Ah. The ability to make myself comfortable instantly. Oh, yeah. No more getting up in the middle of the night now to pee. No more hangovers, et cetera. Oh, I thought she meant more like socially comfortable, but I would take that too.
I'm sure that's included in the superpower.
Yeah. Isn't that funny that that's where I go right away instead of a physical comfort?
Yeah, I wonder what that says about you. Also, I don't think getting up to pee is that uncomfortable. Well, I kind of enjoy the break.
Yeah,
the night, unless I can't get back to sleep.
There you go.
Yeah.
And wait till you turn 42. And you have to get up to pee.
I got up to pee this morning.
Can I go back to sleep?
Yeah, full disclosure. And at 6:30, and I could not fall back asleep.
Well, I almost thought, well, why share that with people? But
It's appropriate.
And especially now that this is the interesting thing about a show
like
this.
It's not appropriate. It's inappropriate, yes, but it's appropriate for the content.
Exactly. And also, that instinct I have might not be the best because Eiler said it in her letter. She feels like she does kind of know. I mean, like, that's the thing about a show like this is we're not really doing a – I mean, I'm not doing a shtick. Really, I don't think. I'm not really performing.
I don't think you are.
I'm sure to a certain extent, slightly maybe. But like, so to Eiler's point, like, she does kind of know us.
Uh-huh.
So maybe she would like to know.
And now I feel like I know her a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice.
That's a good superpower too because...
Oh, it's great.
I think...
make myself
It's a good example of like a non-active... superpower. Every other superpower is like, I want to be able to fly.
It would be incumbent on you to do stuff.
It would just be like, I want to sit around and be comfortable.
Oh, man.
You know?
It's also, like in comfort.
You
and
feel
that,
good.
And happy. And how great to like live, to know that you could immediately be happy.
Because it's true. What is more important than being comfortable?
Right.
There's no more important thing.
And because
you can't be anything else unless you're comfortable.
Could you say that discomfort sometimes it certainly can be valuable?
That's true, yeah.
And
but for moments, you know,
yeah.
not consistently
right.
in your life.
Not at 6 a.m. when you're
right.
getting up to pee, you want to go back to sleep. Yeah. Or, I mean, I'm thinking too, that I love doing this show. I love talking to people. It would be really nice to be more comfortable in a conversation.
You're pretty comfortable in
yeah.
the conversation.
I
except when you talk to Matthew McConaughey.
I was comfortable
no,
in the conversation. Wait a minute. All right. Thank you, Eiler. And, I'm so glad that we gave you that idea. Yeah. I think I record maybe too much now. I mean, every time I see my grandmother now, because I think, I know how valuable those are going to be. And I'm sorry that you don't have any of your mom. That really sucks. But I'm so glad that you and your siblings and your dad can get together. And that's the nice thing about, those moments probably is you get to revive her. Because I need – my memory is so bad. Like I need to be – sometimes people will come on the show and remind me of like shit that happened.
Well, that's why also why we have those voice memos at the end of the episodes.
Yeah.
Because you record a lot.
I do.
Often when people don't know you're recording.
Yeah. My friend James Duffy, I'm sorry, James, if you're listening, he used to hate when I did that. He still does. So I don't record him anymore. But which is totally understandable. I wouldn't like to be... Occasionally, like, Maggie started recording us, and, like, sometimes I feel a moment... I like having them, and I'm somebody who records it, but there is a moment where I'm like, oh, shit, now I feel self-conscious.
Yeah, but if it's someone you trust doing
it,
you know they're not going to, spread something around if you're not comfortable with
right.
it or
I would never do that, yeah. And we should say, too, with these voice memos, we always run them by, if like, our mother's in it, because she says
course.
Hilarious stuff, but sometimes there are things that, like, she... That we wouldn't mind having out there, but like she would be have trouble with. So anyway,
thank you, Eiler.
Thanks,
That's,
Eiler.
A really wonderful letter and really touching.
Yeah, and thanks to our friend Will Forte.
Oh, and all if you guys want to write in.
Oh, yeah.
To the show, we love getting your letters. Our email address is Justin.
Life is short at wondery.com. And Eiler,
it's not Justin.
No.
For clarity, it's
yeah.
just life is short. At Wondery.com.
Not just.
And Wondery is spelled Wondery.
Yeah. Wondery, if you were wondering how to spell it. And Eiler, when you make a bad joke and you try to like
pivot quickly? I know how you do that.
how one does that. Anyway, Eiler, if you do want to write back, and now I'm curious about your dad's immigrant experience.
I am
and
too.
Where he's from, where you guys are from. And I hope you do that, record each other and... Yeah, I hope it doesn't become annoying to any of your friends, like my friend James. Anyway, thank you for that, and thank you all for listening. Thanks to the great Will.
The great.
Oh, man, is he... I was such a huge fan before.
What a guy. What a brain. What a heart.
Yeah. I thought I knew you'd really like him.
Really like him.
Okay.
And we'll talk to all of you next week.
So thanks to all of you. Yeah. Will, Eiler, all the shorties. Thanks, everyone.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-boom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long, and it's produced by you,
Christian Long.
It's also produced by
Megan Monaco.
Senior producer is Michelle
Mish
Lands.
Audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Executive producers are
Marshall Louis and also one more,
Hernan Lopez,
for a company that at some point some employee named
Wondery.
But Bagger Vance must have been
young.
Why? Well, and wise.
Why wise?
Because he's a caddy. Caddies are inherently wise. They give advice. The whole job is to give advice.
Oh, that's true. Oh, maybe it's that Matt Damon's character got credit for being good at golf, but it was
Was Matt Damon's character the caddy or the golfer? Or was Bagger Vance the...
I think Will Smith was Bagger Vance.
Doesn't he come back from the dead or something?
Maybe it's because he couldn't play...
What is that movie about?
I'm guessing... Here's what I guess Bagger Vance is about, that he's the... He's the caddy, and he can't play. He's better at golf than Matt Damon.
They don't let him play because he's black.
Right. Because it takes place in, like, the 1800s, I think.
So he doesn't play an old version. He just plays an old-fashioned.
Yeah, player. Yeah. Not he plays old. An old... Yes.
I got old and old-fashioned confused.
Yeah, he's just from a different era.
That's right.
Yeah, now I'm so curious what that's about. I wonder how... It must be something like that. It's about golf. He plays a caddy. What else could it be? That he gives him, like, love advice? It's not like a rom-com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.